Amen. Numbers chapter 18 is our text tonight. Numbers chapter 18. The privileged people. Privilege is a peculiar and particular advantage enjoyed by a person beyond the common advantages of others. In our home, it was considered a privilege to date. Our children were not allowed to date until they were at least 16 years old. And even then, there were some restrictions along with that. Children under 16 did not have that privilege. It's been our practice here that some things are preserved for teenagers that children don't get to do. They're privileges that are granted at a certain point in life. In Numbers chapter 16, there was resentment of the privileges. Korah and his group resented the privileges that Aaron and his family enjoyed. In chapter 17, God established his divine prerogative in granting privileges. And here in chapter 18, Aaron and the Levites are identified as the privileged people among the Israelites. So some of the Israelites are going to be granted privileges that other Israelites are not going to be granted. Aaron and his sons were granted the privilege of serving the sanctuary and in the priesthood. You remember what happened with two of the first priests? Yeah, well, that didn't work out too good because they abused their privilege. Numbers chapter 18, verse 1, the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. Now, that sounds ominous. Actually, there was a great responsibility in serving as a priest, and so, along with responsibility comes accountability. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. Thus, Nadab and Abihu experienced suffering the iniquity of their office. They had a great responsibility in serving as priests. They abused that privilege, did something terribly wrong. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, they offered strange fire before the Lord, and therefore there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So all the sons of Aaron will bear the iniquity of their responsibilities as priests in that they will be accountable to do things right or else suffer the consequences. That responsibility comes with privilege. Relatives of the priests will minister to the priests while the priests minister before the tabernacle. Verse 2 in chapter 18. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, now he's speaking here in verse 1, unto Aaron and his sons, and so the brethren are the extended family among the Levites. Aaron being the one segment of the Levites. There were other families among the Levites, the relatives, the brethren, also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. So Aaron and his sons are ministering in the tabernacle. Somebody needs to take care of them while they're spending their time serving in the tabernacle. So the extended family is responsible for that. Priests doing their job right will protect the people of Israel. Verse 5. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath anymore upon the children of Israel. If you do your job right, you're not only protecting yourselves, you are protecting the entire nation. Only priests were allowed to serve in the priest's office. Only the sons of Aaron. Verse 7, therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. So the privilege of serving as a priest given to Aaron and his sons is a gift. One of the things I'm going to do tonight is distinguish between a privilege and a right. No one had the right to serve as a priest. It was a privilege. There's a difference between those two things. It was a gift. It wasn't earned. It was a gift. The Levites were granted the privilege of working with Aaron and his sons in the service of the tabernacle. Now, obviously, Aaron and his sons are Levites, but we're talking about the broader group, the brethren. Verse 2, thy brethren, he says. Verse 3, regarding thy brethren, they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Verse 4, and they shall be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 6, and I behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so the Levites, apart from the family of Aaron and his sons, did the menial work, while the Aaron and his sons, the priests, did the ministry work in the tabernacle. There were some exclusive privileges. The relatives of the priests were not to come near to the vessels in the sanctuary. Verse 2, we're talking about the brethren again. The brethren, also the tribe of Levi. Verse 3, and they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they, the brethren, shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And so the extended family among the Levites was not allowed even to come close to the vessels in the sanctuary. And Gentiles were not supposed to come anywhere near them. Verse 7, at the end of the verse, the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. It was a privilege to serve, a privilege granted by God, not a right assumed by any person. Would you go over to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men pertaining in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, verse 4 of Hebrews 5. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. I still believe in a call to ministry for today. And I think it's unfortunate that a lot of Bible colleges anymore are presenting the ministry as a vocational choice. And I think a lot of missionaries and pastors flounder in what they're trying to do because they're not called. And they assume the right to take on these responsibilities without being prepared to handle the accountability because they aren't called. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Then go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe spiritual gifts are a privilege. After all, they are called gifts. And what was the priesthood to Aaron and his sons? What did Numbers chapter 18 say? It was a gift. And spiritual gifts, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Verse 8, it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Of course, he's listing some of the miraculous gifts in this passage that are no longer given today. But the idea is, you notice in verse 9, to another and to another. Verse 10, to another and to another. To another and to another. And finally in verse 11, he says, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now that word severally is not related to the word several. It's related to the word severing. What's the difference between several and severing? Well, several is a bunch. Severing is dividing. And so he divides to every man as he will. It's a privilege to have a spiritual gift. It's a privilege to have the Holy Spirit work through us. As verse 7 says in this text, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. None of us should assume that we have the right to serve the Lord. That's an arrogant attitude. We have the privilege to serve the Lord as he chooses to use us through his Holy Spirit. Well, back to Numbers chapter 18. Verses 8 through 10, Aaron and his sons were granted the privilege of eating the sacrificial animals. Is that clear? Can you tell what that is? It's roast beef. It's roast beef. Verse 8, the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given by reason of the anointing unto the sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine and the most holy things reserved from the fire. That is, all the meat that is not burned up in burnt offerings. an animal that was used as a burnt offering was totally consumed. But notice, the verse 9 continues, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it, every male shall eat it. Now he lists every oblation, every meat offering, every sin offering, every trespass offering. What does he not list? Every burnt offering. Because there was nothing left for them to eat of the burnt offering. Aaron and his sons and their families could eat of the other offerings other than the burnt offerings that were given to the Lord. Here were some items that were specifically designated for the priests and their sons and daughters. Verse 11 in chapter 18, and this is thine, the heave offering of their gift with all the wave offerings. Now, let me just say the heave offering was the shoulder of a ram. That would be on the right. And the wave offering was the breast of the ram. That would be on the left. So the heave offering and the wave offering were particular parts of a ram that was offered. But then he goes on in verse 11, I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, to thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it, and the best of the oil, that would be olive oil, and the best of the wine, that would be grape juice, I didn't have that in the picture there, and of the wheat, and the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land which they shall bring unto the Lord shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in the house shall eat of it, everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. So this was what was given to the priests. This was part of their diet. As people brought things and sacrificed to God, what was not consumed on the altar was then given to the priests and their families to eat. That's how they got part of their living. There were certain things that were to be redeemed in verse 15. Everything that opened the matrix and all flesh which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be men or beasts, shall be thine nevertheless. The firstborn of man shall surely be redeemed, and the firstling of unclean beasts thou shalt be. Now, unclean beasts were to be redeemed with a lamb. That's according to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 13. So if you had a donkey, and a donkey had its first baby donkey. What's a baby donkey called? Anybody know? A colt? A foal. I know that's what you call a baby horse. I guess it'd be a baby donkey. Anyway, the very first baby donkey that a donkey has belongs to the Lord, because the firstborn of everything belongs to the Lord. But you could redeem that baby donkey by bringing a lamb to the Lord. And then you could keep the baby donkey, because God didn't want a baby donkey to be sacrificed. But there had to be an exchange. But the redeeming of clean beasts, let's say a sheep had a baby lamb, that was to be redeemed with money, according to verse 16 in our text. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem. The cost of redeeming clean beasts according to thine estimation for the money of 5 shekels. So, clean beasts were redeemed with money. 5 shekels in today's money equal less than $10. Not very expensive, it doesn't seem. I mean, you put that in the equivalency of our economy, what you can buy with $10 today would be comparable to what 5 shekels would buy in their time. So you couldn't even eat at McDonald's for 5 shekels if they had McDonald's back in those days. I wonder what they had at their fast food restaurants back in those days. You know, they would have such a thing. In the markets, there would be people who would be cooking various kinds of food that you could buy as you're shopping in the markets. What did Solomon say? Nothing new under the sun. The timing for the redeeming of the clean beasts was 1 month. Where do I have that notation? Oh, in verse 16, those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem. Those are clean beasts. Within the 1 month of its birth, you had to pay 5 shekels to the priests, and that would be part of their income as well. Then, let's see, yep, there we go, 5 shekels. Those are actual pictures of shekels. There's still some in existence. They've dug out of the ground at some point or another. The animals used for sacrifices, however, are not to be redeemed. So if a cow has its firstborn cow, or a sheep has its firstborn sheep, or a goat has its firstborn goat, you weren't to redeem those. Those were the animals that were used for sacrifices. Thou shalt not redeem, they are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire for a sweet savor unto the Lord. So a little bit ago I said about a sheep having a baby sheep. I shouldn't have said, use that animal as an example. What's another clean animal besides a cow, a sheep, and a goat? Not sure. Must be some. Anyway, you get the idea. Then it says, interestingly, in verse 19, that this is a covenant of salt. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. What does salt do? It preserves. So this is a covenant that preserves forever. That's why it's called a covenant of salt, because of its preservation element. Now, Levi was only one tribe, and not the largest tribe by any means. Aaron and his family were only a small part of the tribe. Yet they were the beneficiaries of the sacrifices made by 12 full tribes. This was a huge privilege. We might call it a windfall. A windfall is an expression that comes from the wind blowing and causing the fruit to fall from the trees. It's a windfall for Aaron and his family. All 12 tribes, remember Joseph's two sons, each are given a full tribe status so that Levi is not counted as one of the 12 tribes. All the animals that the 12 tribes bring as sacrifices to the Lord benefit Aaron and his family. That could amount to quite a bit. Aaron and the Levites would have no inheritance in the land. Verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. So when they go into the promised land, they're not there yet, but when they go into the promised land, a particular part of the promised land will be given to each of the 12 tribes, but Levi is not one of the 12 tribes now. They are not going to have a land. They're going to be dispersed among all of the tribes so that there are Levites available to every tribe to minister to them. And then the Lord says something rather interesting. Instead of land as an inheritance for the Levites, he says at the end of verse 20, I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Which would you rather have? A plot of land or God himself? What a privilege for the Levites. To the Levites were given a tithe from all the tribes. Verse 21, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve. Now, not only does the one small group of the Levites benefit from all of the sacrifices offered from the other 12 tribes, now all 12 tribes are to give one-tenth to the Levites, which means now the Levites have 12 tenths. That's more than one whole. Then it expresses again in verses 22 through 24 how no one who is not a Levite is to come near the tabernacle. And then it repeats about the tithe in verse 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. So 12 tribes give one-tenth to one group, the Levites. The Levites end up being wealthier than any of the other tribes. Each of the other tribes will have 9 tenths, and the Levites will have 12 tenths. With the privilege of serving comes blessing. Then the Levites were to give a tithe of the tithes they received to Aaron and his sons, verse 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And so the 12 tribes give one-tenth to the Levites. All the Levites benefit from that. But then all the Levites are to give a one-tenth of what they receive. One-tenth of 12-tenths they give to Aaron and his family. Verse 27, this is your heave offering. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priests. There were a total of 8,580 Levite working men among the three families of the sons of Levi, the Gershonites, the Kohathites, and the Merarites. Numbers chapter 4, verse 48 gives us that number. Of Aaron and his sons, there were much fewer in comparison, and this would make the priests the wealthiest of all the Israelites. But we, again, would say, along with the privilege of serving comes blessing. The Levites were to enjoy their privilege without consequence. Verse 30, therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it when ye have heaved from it the best of it. Neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. So just do everything right, and you will enjoy your privileges. Would you go to 1 Peter chapter 2? First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Lest ye think that we're going to compare the priests of the Old Testament, Aaron and his sons, to pastors, think again. Because it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. To whom is Peter writing? All believers. It's not just pastors. I hope nobody who preaches in pulpits like this try to impose a special privilege of being wealthier than all of the people in the congregation because they're the called pastors. No, the correlation is not between pastors and Old Testament priests. The correlation is between Old Testament priests and New Testament priests, which consists of all believers. There's a privilege that we are granted, that all believers are granted, that no one else in the world is granted. We are granted the privilege of serving the Lord, and we are granted his blessing. Christians have special privileges. It's a privilege to serve. You know Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your What kind of service? Reasonable. It's only reasonable that we serve. It's not a right. It's a privilege. It's only reasonable that we do that because of what God did for us. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, you probably know this one too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath done what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That makes us believers the wealthiest people in the world. Maybe not materially, but spiritually, we are the wealthiest people in the world. And what about our possession? What was the greatest possession that the priests had? Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance. Psalm 16, verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion. Well, is there anything in the New Testament? Go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but what's it say? Christ liveth in me. What a possession. We have the Lord as ours. Nobody else in the world has that. Only believers. The greatest possession of all. And thus we are of all people the most privileged. Christ liveth in me. And thus we are of all people the most privileged. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it is to be yours, to serve you, and to have you to be ours. Help us to understand the accountability that goes along with this privilege. Help us to do it right, to serve you well, so that we may enjoy your blessing, all your blessings you make available to us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.